Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're about to get into some of the notable veterans that could possibly be on the free agent market if their teams were to let them go this offseason in 2020. You always have some surprise post-June 1st cuts for teams to go ahead and alleviate some salary cap space. So Bleacher Report has put together this list, and I got to thank our boss here, Tim Collins, for sending this over to us and letting us know. But an early prediction for some of the most surprising cuts. So I'm going to give these names. I'll let you know kind of what Bleacher Report writes, and we can go over this and think, okay, are we buying it? And do we think the Cowboys would have any interest in this player? 877-881-1053. The first player mentioned via Bleacher Report is Derek Carr of the Las Vegas Raiders. So Vegas continued their interest in other quarterbacks, and they really have the last two off seasons, right? And last year, general manager Mike Mayock and head coach John Gruden flirted with future number one overall pick Kyler Murray. There was talks maybe they'd try and move up to go and get Kyler if the Cardinals wanted to move out of that spot because they had Josh Rosen at the time. The Raiders were also supposedly interested in Tua. Now they signed Marcus Mariota to a two-year, $17.5 million contract. Once the team gets together, if Mariota shows that he can outplay Derek Carr, the Raiders could save $13.6 million towards the salary cap if they were to let Derek Carr go. So, Jared Sandler, are you buying Derek Carr as a possible early surprise veteran cut?
Yeah, I'm buying that. I don't think there's a fit here, obviously. But
yeah, no, not the quarterback. No.
I've not gotten the sense that John Gruden is really in love with him. And I don't know that he'd be in love with Marcus Mariota. And I think, to be honest with you, if I had to pick one or the other, I think Carr's better than Mariota. But I don't know that either is John Gruden's guy. So, you know, that obviously plays a role in with the financial elements that, you know, sometimes is, or oftentimes, the deciding factor.
I'm with you. And I think that Derek Carr eventually is going to be out of a job there in Las Vegas, but I still think he's better than Marcus Mariota. I don't know what Marcus Mariota's shown to make anybody think that he's a good NFL quarterback.
You know, what, and this is why evaluating the quarterback position is so hard. He was so good in college, but if you really go back and look, and this is, you know, the revisionist history type of stuff, that Oregon offense was so good. Not necessarily personnel, but structure and scheme. They were ahead of the game when it comes to the spread. And Marcus Mariota, more often than not, I would guess, man, 60% of his passes were thrown to a receiver who didn't have a defender within 3 to 4 yards of him. And you just don't get that in the NFL. And I think that he has had a much tougher time under those circumstances. Derek Carr gets a lot of crap, and he does kind of seem like a little bit of a dork. Hard Knocks didn't do him any favors, but he's definitely better than Marcus Mariota.
The rolled-up sleeves. I mean, it just made him look.
Yeah.
Yes, dork is a good way to put it. Next up, you've got Mohamed Sanu of the New England Patriots. Sanu was traded from the Falcons to New England, and so far he seems to fall into, you know, the Chad Johnson category of wide receivers that have gone to New England, midseason trade, hasn't quite worked out for him. In 9 games with the Patriots, Sanu managed 27 catches, 218 yards with Tom Brady, and now he's going to be 31 years old. You've got Julian Edelman, Kenneal Harry, Marquise Lee as New England's receivers. That's the reason why I'm not sure that I'm buying this one. I guess the Patriots could save $6.5 million, but it's not like they have a ton of a lot better options at wide receiver than Mohamed Sanu. Not trying to act like he's some kind of elite, top-notch guy, but he's a solid wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3, and Julian Edelman's a guy that's been hurt a lot. N'Keal Harry, how does he do in year 2? Marquise Lee can't stay healthy. I kind of think you have to have Mohamed Sanu on the roster.
He's definitely, at worst, the third best. I agree. I mean, Marquise Lee's not, unfortunately, has not really translated that well. He had one good year in Jacksonville, and then knee injuries have totally knocked him off course. So if they care about competing, which I don't know that they do this year, then Mohamed Sanu should be on there. If they are trying to tank, then, you know, it doesn't seem like it makes any sense for them to keep Mohamed Sanu. But if they aren't trying to tank, then he definitely needs to stay there.
From the 972, knowing what the Raiders know now, do you think they would have tried harder to get up for Kyler? Yes, but ultimately I don't think the Cardinals were moving out of that pick. I think they kind of made their decision, Kyler's going to be our guy, and they immediately looked to try and move Rosen. So, yeah, I think the Raiders would have tried harder. Who knows? Maybe they did try hard, but the Cardinals weren't moving out of that pick. Number 3 on this list of 7, you've got Mike Pouncey, the center of the L.A. Chargers. So when healthy, he's counted among one of the league's best centers in the league, but he's now going to be 31 this summer. And you've got Scott Quisenberry, who played relatively well last year in Pouncey's absence. He was a 2018 fifth-round pick, and he's already volunteered to help this year's 6th overall pick, Justin Herbert, make the transition under center, according to the AP's Joe Reedy. So Quisenberry, not necessarily the Pro Bowl caliber center that Pouncey is, but he's already established a rapport with the organization's future franchise quarterback, and moving on from Pouncey would save $4.8 million. I think this move makes a lot of sense.
It does, and now my next question to you is, does this move maybe perhaps intrigue you on the Cowboys side, knowing that there's a hole up the middle, or are you confident rolling with Tyler Badass?
So I do think this would be intriguing. It depends on what Mike Pouncey wants, but I also do believe that Mike McCarthy loves Tyler Badass, and I said it last week on the show, I think he's your starting center week 1. I think he's a guy that's going to come in. I think he's just as good as Joe Looney, as much as we love Jumbo Joe, great guy, and he was serviceable, did an admirable job at center. It wasn't great, okay? And we're talking about a player here that won the award for the best center in the country 2 years ago, and if he had to come out of the draft then, he probably would have been the first center selected in the draft 2 years ago. So he was nicked up last year, big reason why he slid in the draft, but I think he's got the pedigree at a big-time program at Wisconsin that produces offensive linemen year in and year out. I think that dude, if he's anywhere close to on the same level as a Joe Looney or even a Connor McGovern, who I think is going to end up starting at left guard, I think Connor Williams is going to end up being a backup swing tackle. I think Tyler Badass is your starting center, and they're going to rock with him because clearly the head coach loves him.
Yeah, no, it seems that way. And they, the draft seems so far away. They traded up to get
him,
right?
They moved back into the 4th round to get him, yeah.
Yeah, so that clearly shows that, you know, they believe. I don't think you make that move if you're not confident this guy can, at minimum, really strongly compete for a starting role.
This one's fascinating, and it's a Cowboys division rival, Ryan Kerrigan with the Washington Redskins. Now, for me, I'm thinking, why in the world would the Redskins want to get rid of Ryan Kerrigan? He's only 1.5 sacks away from establishing a franchise record, and those around the league are excited about the potential of Washington's defensive front. Like, who's going to block those dudes? So they did end up taking Chase Young, right? And they have Montez Sweat, who they took last year. Plus, they've got Jonathan Allen and Jerron Payne inside. And Kerrigan now has become somewhat of an afterthought, and he's now a 9-year veteran. And he's missed time with a concussion and a calf injury, and they're loaded up front, and if they were to go ahead and move him, they could end up saving $11.7 million. I still don't think they do it. I think Ryan Kerrigan, since he's been in the league, is one of the most underrated defensive players in football, and it just, that's That's the best part of the Redskins team. Nothing else is scaring you about the Redskins, but when you line up and you got to prepare to play them every week, you're thinking, damn, that front seven's good.
Plus, he was in Sharknado, so...
Was he really?
He was in the... I think he was in the third Sharknado, if I'm not mistaken.
Ooh, okay.
Not that I saw it. I just remember reading
about
it.
No, you saw it. You saw it. No, which one was your favorite?
Frankly, I haven't seen any of the Sharknados.
Have you seen the Sharknudos?
That wouldn't surprise me if that's a real thing.
Oh, it's a real thing. One of my callings was going to be to be a director of that kind of genre, and I made Sharknado as my first featured film.
Oh, my gosh. I got to see that. Are you in it?
No, I'm behind the camera. Trust me. I'm a little too camera shy up front there.
I will say this. Ryan Kerrigan is one of the best-looking guys in the NFL. And
what?
No one really ever mentions that.
Oh.
I'm married. I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah.
Thanks,
should we
Jared.
Be concerned? Should I let Emily know?
No, I have no problem. I've never understood. Like, I have no problem, like, looking at a guy and being like, yeah, dude, this is a good-looking dude. Like,
are you embarrassed?
No, Corey, I'm not embarrassed.
Next up, you've got Coppell's own Solomon Thomas. Okay,
Solly T.
Yeah, Solomon Thomas, it could add another $4.4 million in cap space for the 49ers. He's been a massive, massive bust. They took him with the third overall pick, and he just hasn't figured it out. They drafted Javon Kinlaw this year, and they even traded DeForest Buckner. You'd think, okay, perfect time for Solomon Thomas to start. Nope. In comes Javon Kinlaw. So, I mean, if Solomon Thomas doesn't get cut, he will be a free agent after this year. I don't see a future for him. I'm just super disappointed in his career. I was a big fan of Solomon Thomas. I was rooting for him. Pac-12 guy, Jared, I'm sure you got to see him play at Stanford, and he just hadn't worked out in the NFL.
You know, I remember every year, one night, I will go, I didn't do it this year, but this is the first year I have not gone and spent a night with Kavan on Broadus watching film. And I don't go to break down the film. I go to hang out with them and just out of respect for the amount of work they put in. And I remember prior to the 2017 draft watching Solomon Thomas. He happened to be one of the guys we watched the night I was there. And they were very conflicted.
Hmm.
You know, there's obviously, for a guy to get drafted third overall, there's got to be, you know, those signs of something special. And they were there. But there was something about him that those two guys couldn't quite wrap their head around. So, credit to them. You know, I think they sort of identified something off. Solomon Thomas to me doesn't seem like a change of scenery guy. A change of scenery guy is usually someone who's in a bad system or a bad environment, bad team, and that's not a team system environment that has been bad for defensive players. I think it's more likely he's a bust than a guy who just needs a change of scenery.
100% agree. Look, there's everything has been, and he's in a position to succeed, to your point, right? And he just hasn't made it work. If you're not going to make it work there, I don't know where you would. Danico Autry, the defensive tackle of the Colts, is next up on this list. The Colts would save $5.7 million. He's a defensive tackle, has played under defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, formerly of the Dallas Cowboys, their linebackers coach. And with the addition of DeForest Buckner, I think this makes Autry a little bit more of a cap casualty. He had a career-high 9 sacks in only 12 games last year. So this is a guy who's got some upside. I would certainly be interested if he became available. I just don't know what the cost would be. And then how about this? Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas of the Baltimore Ravens with what happened. We know about what happened with his brother, right? Okay, we heard about that. They're in bed together with women. Interesting story, okay?
Wait, what?
Yep, they were, I think they might have been doing the same girl.
Yeah, I think they were. I think they were a tag team.
Sword swapping stuff going on. And I guess if it's your brother, I don't know.
No, that's weird.
Yeah, okay.
Probably more weird because it is your brother.
Yeah, I think so too. I don't have a brother, so I couldn't really speak to it, but you do. And Eric does too. And Eric has said, no, and his brothers are very, very loose. I mean, they're very open-minded. And if he's going to say they're not doing it, that's weird, Earl. But even the safety,
ridiculous.
Even if he didn't violate his contract, which is what the Ravens are looking at right now to try and get out of this, the Ravens can still release Thomas with a post-June 1st designation and absorb the entirety of his $15 million cap hit without incurring further dead money, which would be a $25 million salary cap hit in total this season per over the cap. So I don't see a ton of incentive contract-wise to cut Earl Thomas, but if they did, and you're the Dallas Cowboys, and you clearly have had interest in him in the past, and we know the off-the-field stuff isn't going to scare away Jerry Jones, should you make a push for Earl Thomas.
Yes, but you got to do so knowing he's not what he used to be, but he's definitely an upgrade over what you have.
Over Kaha?
Yeah, 110%.
Better than Clinton Dix, huh? Interesting.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.